Christian greetings to everyone here in the name of Jesus. I thought about Peter's greeting there. He said to all the redeemed in Jesus Christ. And but this morning, there was something that I didn't know if I should share, and then in a brother's prayer, he reaffirmed me that I want to share this morning, but sometimes I say things that can be misunderstood. But I felt this way the last time, especially I was here and shared with you, as it's probably been really close to right on 2 years ago, when we had come back from Bangladesh to be with Lyndon's family. Lyndon was in the hospital, and he had just come home that week, and I shared a message with you. And that time it was on my heart to share it, but I thought I better not say that, but I'm going to this morning. But I just marvel how God can take something that's so nothing and make something so beautiful out of it, as I see here today. I hope you can understand me. It's going to give us maybe some of what the message is about this morning, a proper perspective of what we are. What I would be without intercession, what you would have been. And this morning, sitting here, the brother that shared devotions, I'd like to put on the blackboard here part of my title. Since some of us extroverts get a lot more out of this than you introverts do without seeing anything, I'm not going to write the whole thing up because I don't know if I'd have enough room. But my title is going to be taken from Ephesians 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. While you're thinking about that, I want you to look at that and think about that a little bit. Followers of God as dear children. I want to compliment the devotions. I don't want to re-say things that he said. But there's some things in the scripture that just get so clear to me. And light, salt, darkness, illustrations like that are something I can really understand in life when we bring it right down to life. And one thing about, he used the word reflection. And as I understand them, old lighthouses used reflection. I don't even forget who shared the devotions, but I think I'm right on that. They used reflection. It wouldn't have done a lot of good to have this little light there, but I think about everyone sitting here this morning, a reflection of Jesus, a reflection of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to make much light by yourself. It's going to take that reflection. And there's a little illustration. Sometimes an illustration can bring out a point, but he woke up something in me, an old story that I read years ago, probably when I was 16 or 17, and it was many years before that. And I thought about this morning, probably Abe's grandfather could relate to a story like this. But there was a talk about trains. He was talking about ships. But this was a train back in the day when at the crossing where two trains would cross, or I'm not sure how it was, but they would have a man out there at the switch track or something with a light. He was I don't know what he was all to do. I wonder how he would stop a train, but I guess they would watch for this light. Anyways, there was this bad train crash that happened. And it went to court. They took it to court. I don't know who took who, how it was. I don't remember that part of the story. But the man was there. They had the man called in there that was to have the light there. And there he was. And the judge or the lawyer, the judge, I think back then the judge asked the questions. And he said to him, were you there that day? He said, yes, I was there. Did you have your light with you? He said, yes, I had my light. I think about that as our Bibles. We have the light. He said, were you swinging your lantern? He said, yes, I was swinging my lantern. Okay. So this is all settled. On the way out of the courtroom, he said to one of his friends, I'm sure glad he didn't ask me if it was lit. You know, it's funny, but that's the part I want you to think about. If our light isn't lit, we can be carrying our Bibles all we want, and it's not going to make much difference, is it? We need to have our lanterns lit. And I look out here, and I see lanterns that are lit. Thank you. I'm so happy for you. And so today, as I go down through this, I just want to think about this a lot. And so this morning, I'm talking about followers of God as dear children. I wonder what goes through your mind as you think about dear children. I look back across this group this morning, and I just skipped the children just a little bit, but you know, you youth all got up and walked out, and I thought I was going to be left alone for a little bit. It was like, wow, that's wonderful. That's amazing. That's so wonderful. But you're going to need to keep your lanterns lit. But I don't think about the children. All you young families here, with you fathers and mothers, can really relate to that. Followers of God as dear children. You know, I can. And it's just really interesting. All those, what comes to your mind when you think about what of a child that was so dear to you and made dearer because of the way they followed you? So this morning, as I think about that, followers of God, just a few little examples of family life of children here. You know, it doesn't, it's really interesting. I don't want to go too deep in this, but you know, you have, when you have as many children as we do, which isn't very many, well, we have six married, and you have children, and you have, we have all the, we have 16 grandchildren now. And as we visit into the different homes, it's so interesting how, I don't care if it's my son or my in-laws, I don't like to call them in-laws, but, you know, it made a difference. All of a sudden, Lyndon's children, they like one kind of tractor, and this other's children, they like this kind. And Grandpa needs to be quiet because he knows most of it's foolishness. But you think about that. But then the thought I want you to get is these children are looking at dad and mom, and they're following them. They adore them, at least until they get to be 14 or 15. Then all of a sudden, Kubota's might not be so good lane. I don't know if it will be that way for you or not. But that's just a little simple thing I want you to think about. What the endearing part when your children, to parents, when their children want to be like them, but all of a sudden dad realizes, I better be doing it right. I better be doing it right. Yeah. So followers of God as dear children, I think about God looking down this morning on dear children. Dear children. You know, sometimes we lose, and I have been there, where you wonder if God even sees me anymore. It's been so hard. Maybe you went through something so hard. But he looks down at his children, and they're so dear to him. So this morning, as you think about following God as dear children, I wonder what goes through. It would be so wonderful to hear you all share that. When you think about God, your relationship with him, and then you think about your children, I'll let you ponder that. As you think about in life, following Jesus as a dear child, following God as a dear child, asking yourselves questions. And you know, we've been through some things back home that has made me really question, am I following God? Am I on track? Do I know God? Is the Holy Spirit in me? Things like that. But I want you to think deep a little bit here about, in all of your life, can you ask yourself, am I in my life following God as a dear child follows his parent? As you look up to Jesus, are you actually following him? Am I following Jesus as, you know, in all of life? I wish sometimes in life I would have asked more of myself, How would Jesus do this? And, you know, I have to share some memories once in a while. But I remember one time years ago, that was kind of a big thing. What would Jesus do? I forget that WW. I forget what it was. But it was a really big thing back when Lyndon was about 21 or 20 or 21, somewhere in there. And something had gone pretty bad for him at home. And he latched on to that. He probably remembers this real well. I remember him talking to me about it. What would Jesus do? You know, and that challenge was put out there to people to take this challenge on you for the next month. Every time you face something, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus? It was a wonderful challenge. It got to be a big, big thing in the world, but it still is surreal yet today. On everything you face, can you ask yourself, you know, what would Jesus do? And some things that happened in my lifetime, I look back in my home, and how would have I handled some of these things if I would have asked myself, what would Jesus do in this situation? Sometimes it's really hard to answer that. You know, how I live with my wife sometimes, what would Jesus do? You know, maybe we say, well, she offended me, or the other way around, he offended you. You wives sitting here, or parents to their children. What would Jesus do? And one of the ones in my lifetime that I've had to face different times with other people came and asked me, what if your child would accuse you wrongly? What would Jesus do? What did he do? And I remember being at Bible school with Brother Sanford Miller. And we were teaching Bible school in Utah, and something of that very nature had happened. And I went to Sanford and I said, what would you do? And he says, what would Jesus do? He said, I would die for her. He said, I would beg forgiveness no matter if it was totally untrue. I would die for her. You know what? He's never had to face something like that. I really think when that's real in us parents' lives, you won't have to face something like that. I believe that, but yet it could be someday I would. I don't know. But I haven't. God has been so good to us. And so as you think about wrong accusations from your brethren, from your children, from family, from other place, from community, what would Jesus do? What would he do? Followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus is what we're talking about. Now, I want to take you, and this, you might say, well, it doesn't all blend, and sometimes my messages don't always blend, but this is where I want to go with you next. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And I just want to read a little bit here, but just account of this person coming and asking Jesus something, and he had just answered a previous question, but we're not going to go into that one. But I wanted to go, because this blends more with what I want to share. But verse 29, Jesus gets asked a question, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he's talking about the previous thing, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Or in other words, you could say he was asking Jesus, which is the most important commandment of all? Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of it in that way, one commandment being more important than the other. But I, you know, sometimes people wonder about that. But Jesus said, yes, there is. There is. The most important commandment. I want you to think about that. He's saying, which is the most important commandment of all? Now, let's look what Jesus answers. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Jesus answers that question. You know, I sat and ponder that. I ponder that. And I'm going to make a little statement here, but I'm not going to answer this till I get to the end of the message. I'm going to try to remember to. But then Jesus messes up that first commandment with the second one. I say messes up. I'm going to use that word because I want you to think about why it messes it up. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, why did Jesus need to tack that on after that? Well, we're not going to answer that now, but maybe you all have it figured out. I'm sure you all do. But he says there is no greater commandment than these two. There's nothing that God holds higher than these two commandments for me and you. There's nothing he holds higher. I'm just impressed. I sat and pondered that many times before this morning, before yesterday, that God holds these two commandments. Nothing he holds higher for you and I. Nothing. Well, it covers so much, doesn't it? It covers so much. So let's go back to the thought of being followers of God. How do we do this? And some of these things I'm going to share, these are experiences that I went through in my life. And so, you come to a place and I want to follow God with all my heart. So what do I do? So we get our Bibles out and we start reading. And we start making lists. And I did this already, start writing down everything. Because I've often wondered what Jesus all meant. Like in John chapter 14, he talks about if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I get down and I think, what are Jesus' commandments? What are they? And so I went through my Bible different times and I've picked out everything that Jesus tells us to do. Because I want to follow Jesus. And I'm not saying this is wrong, but there it comes deeper than that. But there it was. Those are the kind of things we do. And then, there's another little thing I want to inject here is I also get with people, and maybe I've done this sometimes, and I'm reading my Bible, and I have some carnality in me. And I'm reading my Bible, I'll say, well, Jesus says do this, the Bible says do this, and do that, and do that. It doesn't say don't do this, or don't do that. You know, what I want you to think about is when Jesus shared the commandments and the way he lived his life and met people like the woman at the well, the woman taking adultery, and all those situations, he brought the heart of the commandment out. So when we read our Bibles with the heart of God and understanding the heart of God, you won't make a list up of I don't need to do this or I don't need to do that or I can do this or I can do that. It doesn't say in the Bible you can't do it. No, all of a sudden you know the heart of God. And that whole thing comes to life in that light. Their whole Bible is going to come to life. And that's part of being a follower of Jesus as a dear child. A dear child knows the heart of his mother and his heart of his father. He doesn't need to come ask Dad if I'm allowed to do this or not. He knows better than to come and ask, doesn't he? Tony, you know what I mean? Many, many times our children know better than to come and ask. I've seen you nodding your head. I like that. I like to know you're listening to me. But they're many times your children are never going to ask. And I know my children said already, I would never ask Dad that question. We already know what he's going to say. Well, that's exactly right. But maybe sometimes Dad was too hard on some of them things. Lyndon would probably say that. And you know, we were always hardest on the oldest child. And I look back and I let my younger children do things I wouldn't have left Lyndon do. Well, we make mistakes as parents. But maybe that was good. Because our older ones teach the younger ones. I find that so amazing. It just reminds me of something just come to my mind of a neighbor who lived across. We had this electric fence out there for our cattle. And the oldest child got shocked on that fence, you know. And then later bringing little sister down, and he's very emphatically teaching that little sister, don't touch that fence. Well, that's right. That's how it is. The older ones teach the younger ones. It's so interesting how that works. But yes, following us, dear children. So as you look about, as mothers and fathers, just think about that. As you, I love when my children obey me because they love me. And God loves the same thing, Jesus. We want to follow Jesus because we love him. Not because the Bible says to do this or that. There's the difference in knowing the heart of God. That's going to be the difference when you read your Bible tomorrow. I mean, I'm sure you already have that, many of you. But it needs renewed. It needs renewed. Okay. You know, another thing I was going to add on to that, we make these rules for us, and that can be good. We make patterns for our lives. Followers of God as dear children, we make patterns for our lives. We make patterns maybe to pray in the morning before you get up or before you go to bed, or a pattern for husband and wives. They always make sure everything's okay before they go to sleep at night. I've failed in that one many times. A good pattern. But what I want to say about your patterns, they can be the best patterns, but are they Jesus patterns? That's what I want you to get. Are they God's? Are these patterns in my life, these things that I do, is it because it's God's pattern, Jesus' pattern? That's what I want you to think about, dear children, Jesus' pattern. Now, I want to come back to this verse here, 30, and just look at some of these thoughts. The Lord our God is one Lord. You know, we lived over in Bangladesh and went with the Muslims, and they're on the government truck. It was wrote across the windshield. Allah is, I forget how that was written. Allah is not the only God or something. Allah is only God. Allah, God, God. Allah was in Bangla. There it was written across the government trucks. One God. You know, they don't accept the Trinity. It's okay. They don't understand the Trinity. But our God is one Lord. There is no other. There's no greater. There is no other God. And that's what Jesus was bringing out there. There's no other. There's no other God. There's no competition with God. Now, let's look down here. I want you to think about, as dear children, to love the Lord with the whole heart. With all my heart, to love the Lord with all my heart. You know, some of these things I don't know how to express. In my heart, I feel it, but I hardly, and the Holy Spirit's going to need to do that this morning for you. To love the Lord with all your heart. I want to make a simple comparison, though, with the natural heart. What if that heart starts skipping a few beats? What's going to happen? How many of you are going to know it? I just have a cousin, my dear cousin Henry Detlauer in Florida. I think he needed to have, I think, 4 bypasses put in, maybe it was 3, of stents or something put in his heart. Why? Why? The blood wasn't getting there. The whole heart was not working. And so the body was coming down. He told me, just felt like a heavy weight on him all the time. Just felt like a weight was setting on him. His whole heart. But I want you to think about this. To love God with your whole heart. What happens when that heart stops beating? What happens to my natural body when the heart, that blood couldn't flow anymore? It couldn't flow anymore. What happens? And another one I want you to think about, if when there's a bleeding and that blood is being pumped out of the body, it only lasts so long, doesn't it? It only lasts so long. To love God with your whole heart. Now you think about that. Put that somehow in perspective in your life. Is my heartbeat after God? And I don't know how to put all this in words, but I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to go to the next one now here. to love God with all my soul. And as I understand, that'd be like with all my worship. To love God with all my worship. Followers of God as dear children. You think about God looking down today and he was watching your worship this morning. How much worship did he get out of me? And I'm always concerned about that when I stand in front of a congregation and share. I want you to be worshiping. Worshiping God. And sometimes I think our greatest worship is our singing. We express ourselves. You ever notice in our songs how much we praise God? We thank God for things. We praise him for things. Do that in your singing. Next time, I know when we're singing songs, when I was younger, I didn't think of it as much. Now I'm often watching the words, and I'm realizing I'm saying things. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love that song. I love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, light the great fires. Light them fires. So in your worship this morning, as you sat here, have you worshiped God? Dear children, he's looking on this morning and he loves your worship. You little children here, I'm missing maybe out the small ones here this morning, but God loves to hear you singing. He loves to hear that. And I love how we sit down with our children again and again, our grandchildren all the time, and we ask them, what do you want to sing? What's one of the first ones they pick? Almost always. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Well, if you're having trouble praising God, maybe that's where you better start. Start singing that song. Jesus loves me. It inspires our hearts to worship God. As you think about that, and today I'm concerned about that. I want you to worship God. And I look at my own life, and I got up this morning. I'm looking out there across them fields at Lyndon's place, and out at his cattle, and I love cattle. It's so inspiring. I love feeding his cows. I asked him if I could feed his cows. So I'm feeding his cows most every day while I'm there. I just love doing that. But my love needs to be to God, my first love. I'm feeding those cows for Jesus. And you know what? You can. Maybe I should have saved this part till next. But feeding them for Jesus, you're out cutting logs for Jesus. Are you or aren't you? Yes, we need to be cutting them for Jesus. All of your work needs to be centered around God-focused. As a dear child following Jesus, how can you put that together when you're out there in the bush that I'm doing this for Jesus? I'm following Jesus today as a dear child. I know I talked about Sanford, and Sanford has been a booster to me in my life different times. But one time he came to my place and he asked me, well, what are you doing? We had just moved there. And what are you doing? Well, I said, I was feeling pretty down that day, and I'm not sure. I said, and we got some carnal stuff going out here in the field. He goes, no, you're farming for God. You're planting that wheat out there for the Lord, he said. You know what? It'll make a whole difference on how you feel about planting your wheat next time we're cutting them logs down. I'm doing it for Jesus as a dear child. It'll make a difference maybe how long you work. Lyndon said about forsaking your family. I pick on him because I don't know the rest of you that well. Well, Jesse's back there. But it's going to make so much difference on what's most important to you. It's going to make so much difference what your children are going to see as important. They're watching Dad and Mom. They know what's important. They know what's most important to you. And you know what's sad about that? Is they pick up on it, and that's what's so important to them. And I think about a home situation where I think that was me sometimes, just possessed. Dad was just possessed with what he's doing. That's all he could talk about. That's all he could ever talk. You get there on the phone, you listen to it, and you got to his place, you listen to it. And you know what? His boys, that's all they can talk about now. See? They're following Dad and Mom as dear children, but are we leading them right? Where are they going? I've wrote down here a little question to ask myself. If I was given the choice from God, like Solomon was, what would I desire more than anything else that I can think of? What would I desire more than anything else? You know, I've said already, and I find this so true in my life, and I find this so true in homes, in my grandchildren. You ask a question, and they know the right answer to give. That's what they give, the right answer. We parents are a lot the same way. We know the right answer. You would all say something. We would all say something, the right thing. But is it? Are we following Jesus as dear children? We would all say the right thing to a question like that. And I want to take you to one person in the Bible. Balaam felt the same way. He desired to die the death of the righteous. Balaam did. I'll let you look account up if you're not sure how he ended. Balaam desired, but you know, sometimes that's our, we all know the right things to say, but we're missing this part of following God as dear children. It's not what we're really doing. I shouldn't put out like that. I should say it hasn't always been what I was doing. I don't want to be judgmental with anyone. But I want you to think on that. I said about all this work, and I sometimes shudder a little bit. I think about most of my life I've labored for the dollar. And I sit back and I think about, am I still doing that? Am I still laboring for the dollar? I'm going to be 60 years old soon. Am I still doing? Is that my biggest goal? And I'm like, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change this. How many of you are saying that? I'm going to change this. We do live in an economy where it is really hard not to be in that. Now, I had to hear Jesus said here in verse 30, to love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That was the first commandment. And I was talking about with your strength there. I don't think I shared that title with you. To love God with all your strength. That's what I was talking about, going to the bush and so forth. All those things. Now, I'm the word incorporate this in. I think the last time I shared here, forgive me whoever this was, I know who it was, but I don't know your name. But it seemed like I talked about our neighbors, and we're going to get on that subject next. Thinking about loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, what do you think your neighbors are seeing in you? And the last time I think I shared something pretty bluntly, I don't even remember what it was, and one person shared of a struggle they were having, trying so hard to show love to a neighbor, but seemed impossible. You gave some great answers in Sunday school this morning. There comes a place where we intercede and we keep on. I have a funny feeling Abraham was interceding even afterwards. Maybe, you know, it says God went his way. I don't understand God went his way. He's everywhere. You know, I don't understand all that. That's fine. But maybe God was like, I'm done interceding now. I don't know what that all meant. I'm going to leave that. But I think we just keep on, the best we can do is intercede, because it takes the Spirit of God to do that work that we can't do. We can't do that. We don't even want to replace God's Spirit in our neighbors' lives. So today, I think about, as your neighbors look on, do they see that? Here's somebody who does things from a different perspective than what I do them. A total different perspective. Let's go to that next verse, verse 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Some years back, I wonder if I didn't share this here before, but I'm going to share it again. Some years back, several of us there in our area went to a, I never know what you call these things, a little conference. It had to do with the SALT program, and I was involved with that in Bangladesh. We helped to start that there, which was an amazing work, the SALT program. And it was bringing the SALT program to America. And we had this meeting there, and I can't say names very easy, but the person who wrote the book on the other side of the wall was there at the meeting, kind of pretty much leading out in it. Really appreciated him. But there was three questions. They gave us a paper, and you know, as little children, you could have left it blank, or you wanted to, but it was three questions on the paper that we needed to answer. And I'm going to tell you some of the hardest questions I've answered in a long time. But the first one was, do you know your neighbor? It wasn't too hard to answer. I mean, all of a sudden, I was wondering, do I know my neighbor? And the second question was, does your neighbor know you? Now, maybe I shared this before. Does your neighbor know you? Now, that was getting really, really hard to answer that. And there we were. We had to write down answers. We weren't allowed to hand in a blank paper. If you would know that man, he took a blank paper from you. He would have handed it back. But the third question was the one that I had to say no. I didn't know what to write. But if your neighbor needed help, would he come to you for help? Oh, that was hard. Would he come to you for help? There's some hard questions. Here it is, to love thy neighbor as thyself. To love your neighbor as thyself. Who is my neighbor? You know, that's what Jesus was asked at one point. Who is my neighbor? I was going to read some from that account. You know, what I want to bring, why I said about why did Jesus have to bring this second commandment in focus and mess up the first one? Because, you know, we probably can go down through that first whole commandment and look at it, and we're trying so hard to be followers of God, and we could probably fit into every one of them, start thinking we're fitting into every one of them. But all of a sudden, this second one comes in there, and it complicates the whole thing. Now, I told you I was going to give you the answer why I believe why this second commandment is so important. Coming back to our thought of loving my neighbor as myself, you know, let's turn to these two. I think we got enough time, yeah? Let's turn to these two here. In Luke chapter 10, we have Luke chapter 10. Here it was asked, who is my neighbor? And I want you to think about that. Who is your neighbor today? When you think about, does my neighbor know me? Who is my neighbor? Luke 10, verses 25 through 29. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Pardon me. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Now, here's somebody who wants to be saved. Here's somebody. It's me and you. We want to be ready to meet Jesus. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And someday you think about that little thought Jesus asked. How readest thou? How do you read your Bible? Think through that one. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now you can see something's bugging him at this point. He fit into everything but what? And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? You can see right there that he fit in. He he had lived a life of such that he felt like he could answer correctly through that whole first commandment. But all of a sudden, the last one is what? He started to feel some guilt there. So he says, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? You can ask yourself that question. Who all is my neighbor? Who all is that? If we had time, I would share another little story, but I think we're going to keep going. Let's go to Matthew 19. Again, a very similar question. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Verse 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now that's a question that has come to me over and over again. What can I do? Hundreds and thousands of people are thinking on that. What can I do to know that I'm saved? Ready to meet Jesus. What can I do? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And this man looks at Jesus and he says, which ones? Which ones? And Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He noticed what he says there again. Now, he didn't give the first commandment there. I kind of think there was a reason for that. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Here was someone who lived a very, you'd say, devout life. He followed God to the best of his knowledge, all he could, all his life. He followed these commandments. He believed these commandments. He says, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You know, there we have the second commandment again coming to life. Now, I want to give you, from what I understand, what I really believe, why Jesus brings in this second commandment. This last illustration here that Jesus gave is so real to us. It's so much the way we are. Pardon me. That man could answer Jesus correctly on every one of them commandments. He probably lived that kind of a life. But you know, all these things are things that an introvert can do. He can have all that inside of him, all them things. But the second commandment suddenly is not, isn't it? What I want to tell you is the second commandment brings the first one to life. It brings the first commandment. Think through this with me. I want you to grab it. But without the second, that whole second commandment shows what? It's a follower of Jesus is doing what? He's loving God. But it all comes out how you relate to other people. I find this so real to me. It all comes out. That whole first commandment is described by the second commandment. And that's where I want to close with, because I want you to go home thinking about that. It brings the first commandment to life. That's why it's the greatest commandment. One of them first two are the greatest commandments. All of a sudden, you go back and you look at how Jesus, what he did when he was on this earth, what he did. How did he bring out his love to God, to the Father? You say, well, he was God, but how did he show it to everyone else? It was that second commandment. So you're going to show your love to God. You're going to show your whole heart's love, your whole energy's love. It's all going to come out on how you relate to everyone else. It's all going to get real right there. No longer does it just stay inside. I understand God's commandments. No longer will it stay in there. I want to close. Do you kneel? Should I have prayer? Let's kneel for prayer. Or do you just want to stand? Let's stand for prayer.